This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
We just need a strategy, okay?
Okay, here's the plan.
Doing things a little bit different today, we have Upon Further Review to start out. A former NFL kicker finds himself in the middle of the gun debate completely accidentally. We explain on Tactics. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tactics. You are listening to News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440, those are the numbers, and we do have a quick programming update for you before we actually get into the meat and potatoes of the show. We have a Braves game, which will be starting at 10:20 today, which means that we're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated show. We're still going to get everything in, still going to get Upon Further Review because it's Thursday, still going to get in everything that we were planning on anyway with the chaplain's report right before or right there at the top of the hour. But we are going to get everything in. We just have that little abbreviation going on for you. And since it is Thursday, it is time for Upon Further Review.
At the review, we're rooting on the field.
If you can talk sports, you can talk with any guy in the world.
When sports and politics meet, it deserves a second look.
After further review, the player disqualification is reversed.
Here with the ruling, it's Caleb Colquitt and Sports Radio 740's Joe Hunk with Upon Further Review.
Welcome back into the studio, Joe.
Can I do the beginning of your show for you? Just like just do it the way that I would have done it if it was me. Just because this is the first time I've actually been in here for the beginning of your show on this.
Sure,
it would have been
not?
Like, you know, we just need a strategy, and I'd be like, Jay Feely is awesome, and people need to get their the stick out of their butt. Next on Tactics, boom, just straight in.
Well, see,
that's
now
the way it needed to be.
Now I will say this, and I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole and get too technical with the audience, but I've got to say, you are the king of teasers. always have been.
I just try to give people enough where they're just going, what the crap is he talking about? And then it takes them 3 minutes to realize that we're in a commercial break, and by that time we're already back.
See,
that's basically the way I'll try to do a tease.
Yeah, you know why I can't do that?
Why?
Because I'm a preacher. Brevity is not our strong suit.
No, and here's the one thing, and this is something that Caleb and I have talked about for almost a year now. It's so hard because every single Sunday, he becomes a preacher. Every single Wednesday, you become a preacher. For the other 5 days of the week, I'm trying to get that out of you, which
I know,
is extremely hard for me to do.
It's two completely different mediums.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that is a challenge for me, at least from time to time. But you're right. No, that's something that I have been working on.
Because when now and how, let's just say how messed up this world is, we don't need to be that serious. I'm just saying. Like, we don't need to be as serious as your teaser was just then. We are very serious right now, and the world is coming to an end. Next, we talk about sports on Tactics. And you're like, whoa, we're supposed to be having fun. It's crappy outside. It's pouring down rain. It sucks for so many people. and then at the exact same time, your show is getting preempted because we got Atlanta Braves baseball going on. You have an hour and 20 minutes. Basically, all the stuff for that you normally have for like two and a half, three, 4 hours, we just compact that into one. We need
Come on, Joe, with it. Joe, I can't not do doom and gloom. It's my thing.
No. And just because
I'm kidding.
And the only reason I bring this up is because you said you would bring it up at some point in time if you would have won.
Yeah.
Is just because I beat your tail in the 740 game room the other night for the championship does not mean you have to be all sad and gloomy, my friend. It's okay.
Yes, it's been
It's
been a dark cloud just looming over my head ever since it happened.
From the moment the match started to that moment where you were laying outside the ring and John Cena is just laying on his back and all I'm doing the whole time is, John, come here, John.
Let's finish this, John.
Okay, let's not pretend like I didn't get some good licks in, though.
No, yo, you did. You did.
I was owning it there for a second.
And also,
anyway,
because I know that he's not listening to News Radio 1440, and because I know he's listening to our sister station, Sports Radio 740, your teammate left you out to dry so much, man. I've called him out for that, like, multiple times.
I noticed
Like, he's talked so much trash towards me on social media about losing that match. And I was like, look, you're talking a lot of crap for a guy that refused to tag in and left your partner out the dry.
And I said two or three times, it's like, get in the corner.
Get
I need
the
to
corner.
Tag you in.
And you know what he does? He hopped in the ring. He's like,
every time.
Nope. Finn Balor is not going to beat my tail. So yes, it's been doom and gloom for you. But you know what? This is probably the most amped up your show has ever been at the start. Just gonna throw that out.
At the start, probably so, because I do some goofy things later in the show, but yeah. my top story is almost always like, the world is coming to an end, the communists are taking over.
Russia.
Take shelter.
Basically, that's what your next tee, that's what your tee should be every single time you go to break. We'll be right back here on Tactics Radio on News Radio 1440. Up next, Russia. We'll be
Russia.
Back. Just that's all you have to say. Because people, because all there's certain keywords.
You know what I should do? I should say Russia, and then right after that, I should play the sound effect for Mordor from Lord of the Rings. Bun dun dun.
Exactly.
Dun, dun.
That's all you have to do.
And then just
so
go straight
people,
to a commercial.
100%. So many people just freak out at the word Russia that they're going, oh my God, what's going on? What did Russia do now? Are they in our Facebook right now? Is that the reason why I'm seeing Russian people on my Facebook? No, those are called tennis players. Those are not real people, okay? Don't worry about those.
You like, remember a couple weeks ago, I was telling the listeners, I was like, look, I can't get onto Twitter right now. I don't know why Twitter's saying that they're having technical difficulties. I said, it's got to be Russia.
It's 100% That's, Russia.
I still can't prove it was Russia, yes. But it was Russia.
Russia, and as I say it over on the other station, Kim Jong-un, just blame both of them. If you blame them for those right there, look, if you never have a tease for anything, we're talking about teasing. If you never have a tease for anything, just say, coming up next, News Radio 1440, Kim Jong-un, and then just go to break. Because I promise you, oh crap.
Who's not going to wait through a commercial break for that?
What did he do? What did the little man do? Oh my God, what is
Rocket Man?
Did he start the nuclear bombs again? Are we back to that? No, we're not. Shut up. Enjoy your life. Have fun.
And of course, let's not forget President 11, President of China.
Yes.
I know it's President Xi, but I like to call him President 11 because it's XI. It just sounds cool, President 11.
I'm telling you, that's how you right now we've already given a synopsis for the way that Tactics could be more amped up from 9 to 11 every single Monday through Friday.
And solve pretty much every single international crisis.
Kim Jong-un is not going to blow us up. Russia has nothing to do with anything. Enjoy your Saturday. That's basically how we're going to tell you tomorrow. Look, the world sucks. We're just going to have fun with this. Let's just enjoy our Saturday and our weekend. How about we do that?
All right. With that in mind, we'll talk about Feely in just a second. Not Mr. Feely, Jay Feely.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Welcome back. You're listening to Tactics. Caleb Colquitt and Joe Hunk from Sports Radio 740's The Fallout in with me this morning. We were talking a little bit about, and we sort of teased at it, Jay Feely, who is a former kicker for the NFL and is currently a CBS commentator, he wound up getting attacked on Twitter the other day. Just thousands of replies, nasty tweets, and what did he do to elicit all this vitriol and vile? Well, he tweeted out a picture.
He did a dad joke.
I know, it was a dad joke, and it wasn't even necessarily an original dad joke. It's one of the oldest ones out there.
It's nowhere close to an original dad joke.
So here's what he tweeted out, wishing my beautiful daughter and her date a great time at prom, and it's a picture of him with his arm around his daughter, and he has a pistol in his hand pointed at the ground, and the boyfriend standing over him with him between the two of them. And everybody freaked out saying, I was looking through the comments myself. They were saying that he should be arrested, that he should be fired from CBS, that he should have his children taken away from him. There was one feminist that said he should never interfere with his daughter's agency to have sex whenever she wants to. I mean, just ridiculous stuff all through this thing. And I can't take the insanity, Joe. I can't do it.
Okay, so here's my advice, and this kind of goes back to what we were just talking a few seconds ago.
Sure.
I know that in news talk, you guys are very serious, okay? I understand that whenever it comes to what's going on in the world, people take it extremely seriously. And I mean this with every single ounce of my soul, and I hope you know that it's coming out and from a good place in my heart.
Sure.
If you're listening right now on News Radio 1440, take the stick out of your butt. I mean, seriously. Because if we can't have fun anymore and prove that we can have some fun, we're all going to hell. I mean, let's just be honest. This whole world is. Because this was a dad joke. Not even an original dad joke. Like, a joke that I had done to me was it's 2018, so 18 years ago.
I doubt there is a man within the sound of my voice that if you dated at all in high school or college, this happened to you.
Yes. I come from a small town in North Alabama called New Hope. You don't think that we have dads that have many, many rifles? That they don't have many, many handguns? And probably somewhere in the back corners where it turns from that normal paved road to basically what looks like people just kind of threw down asphalt and it's all as you're trying to drive down it because it's not really smoothed out or anything.
Oh, shoot, that would be civilized from where I come from, dirt roads.
Exactly. So when we're talking about it, they probably have many assault rifles because they're rednecks, okay? Let's just say this. This joke is old as time itself, probably, okay? They're probably Egyptians that were letting young little Egyptians walk around as the pyramids are getting built behind them, and some dad had the daughter and had this guy and had his little spear in his hand, mm-hmm. saying, if you mess with my daughter, you're going to get the spear. And we're not talking about the Goldberg spear. We're talking about like an actual spear.
Oh, I think it goes back to cavemen. There's probably cave paintings of Grog with his club.
Yes.
Standing between his daughter and the boyfriend.
Why on this earth, and this is where he is, because maybe it's just me because I'm such a lighthearted person and I like to have fun and I like to laugh. The biggest critique that I get on Sports Radio 740 is you laugh a lot. And I do, because I enjoy it, because I enjoy having fun. And for when I see things like this, like, it makes me shake my head that people can't look at something and go, that's a joke, instead of going, I'm shocked somebody didn't turn it into like an abortion message or something like that. Like, I mean, that's how weird this world is now, where everybody wants to take it in a bad direction.
There's actually a game that my friends and I used to play in college that we would look through different social media posts or whatever, and we just waited to see how long the outrage went. And we would like place bets. We would look at the original post and we would all place bets on how many messages it took to get this person to compare them to Hitler.
Yes.
And just about every time there was at least one person that compared them to Hitler.
Yes. I mean, look, it's stop taking the world so seriously. Okay. Just stop taking it so seriously, because guess what? The problems that we have in 2018, we had in 2002. We had in 1995. We had in 1985. We had in 1975. And until we just start enjoying things, and it goes back to what's happening around this area this weekend and what's happening over at Impact and what's happening down at the amphitheater. And again, the biscuits, and you heard it right here on News Radio 1440 earlier with Kevin, the fact that they moved their baseball game up because of the concerts that are going on. Look, all this is about is understanding where we came from and making sure it doesn't happen again. But at the same time, you can't be mad at everybody for everything, because sucks.
And here's what I think it is, Joe. We are addicted to outrage.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying one side of the aisle 100%. Or the other, because it's both of us. But there are people that I really do think wake up, and even though they would never admit to it or even think about this is what they're doing, they wake up, they go on Twitter, they go on Facebook looking for something to be outraged
about. Yes. And it's a horrible way to live.
It really is.
It's an absolute horrible way to live. And if every single thing that happens in this world comes down to the fact of our Second Amendment rights, or the fact that somebody's skin is a certain color, like, we can always spin it any sort of way, okay? Like, here's a perfect example. Last night in Cincinnati, mm-hmm. All right, the Atlanta Braves are starting to bring up all this young talent, okay? And the biggest name of them all finally came up last night, Ronald Acuna. And my wife is looking at him, and she's like, wow, like, what name is Acuna? And obviously she's like, I don't know the race of that name. And I was like, I want to say that he's not from the Dominican. I can't remember exactly where he's from. I know the colors of the country and the flag that he has on his wrist, but it's because it's red, yellow, and royal blue. And I've seen it in the WBC, but I can't remember. But look, I mean, you got Ozzie Albies. You have Ronald Acuna. Those are two of the best players. They're not white, yet I love them. I don't care about their skin color. Ozzie Albies, and this is what's so crazy about him. Okay, so I saw this just a little while ago. This is 100% a stat that I just stole from Twitter, okay? 100%.
See, Twitter can do good things.
Yes, oh, absolutely. Ozzie Albies last night hit a home run off the foul pole, okay? That was his 17th extra base hit, okay? That ties him for the franchise record for extra base hits in the month of April. Here are the guys that he is now tied with. Justin Upton from 2013. You're like, okay. Chipper Jones from 1998 and Dale Murphy from 1985. That's some darn good company.
That is high company.
That is some darn good company. I don't care about his skin color. I don't.
Well, and you know, even that actually reminds me of something that was brought up by Hank Aaron. I was watching a documentary on him.
Yes.
And I remember, and I appreciated so much Hank Aaron saying this. He said they were doing the section of the documentary, which is, I guess, essentially mandatory that they do in every Hank Aaron documentary, that they were talking about the racial aspect of him breaking the record and forth.
And the fact that two white guys ran on the baseball field in a time in Atlanta
That was one of the things they brought up. But here's what he said, and I appreciated Hank Aaron painting it this way. He said, I had to keep in mind that there were a handful of jerks that didn't like me, but the vast majority of Braves fans were rooting for me.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yes.
There were a whole bunch of redneck white country boys rooting for Hank Aaron, not because he was black, but because he was a Brave and because he was a great player.
Here's the one thing that I've noticed that I'm actually appreciative that I can tell that our society is moving forward and it's not so much about skin color anymore. Do you know what the old joke was in football when it came to quarterbacks at Alabama and quarterbacks at Auburn?
I don't.
Okay. The joke was, and I say it's a joke because it's basing it off stereotypes, Auburn's always going to have a black quarterback and Alabama's always going to have a white quarterback. Like, that was always the joke, okay? John Parker Wilson, Greg McElroy,
right.
Jay Barker, you know, you can continue to go through all these Freddie Kitchens, all these all white guys. And then you look at Auburn and you have Jason Campbell, you have Nick Marshall, you have Cam Newton. I mean, you start going through all these other, Damian Craig, like those sorts of quarterbacks. And then here's what's so crazy about it is now we've progressed so much that everybody's like, well, Jalen Hurts is never going to start because he's a black quarterback. You're like, wait, what? No, now the argument is Jalen Hurts, the black quarterback, against Tua, who is Hawaiian and who is Samoan. So now the
argument... It's all mixed up.
There's no white quarterback in this.
We got to go.
Okay.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt. Every weekday from 9 to 11. Only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.
James 1:25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does.
Welcome back. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com, 860-1440. Those are the numbers. If you do want to get in touch with me, you can also reach me through Twitter at Tactics Radio. Be sure to follow me there. And if you ever want to tweet or message me, you can do that through there 24 hours a day. Can't guarantee you I will answer 24 hours a day. I'll try to do that if you tweet me during the show. But nonetheless, we do have something to talk about, kind of along the same lines that we were talking about earlier. And by the way, one thing that I did forget to mention earlier in that story about Jay Feely, the NFL kicker that had the picture joking about his daughter going to prom with the guy, and it happened to feature him standing there holding his pistol in the picture. One of the things that we found out later, because again, people immediately jump to outrage before they know any of the facts, it's not as though this was their first date or anything like this. Apparently, this guy is her boyfriend, so they've known each other for a while. He and the dad have a good relationship. Again, the whole thing was a joke. He wasn't threatening the kid. The kid's life was not in any danger. The gun was actually unloaded and pointed at the ground the entire time. And a coach from the school affirmed that these guys have a relationship. They don't have any problems with one another. And I understand this because I was actually in a similar situation one time. I had a girlfriend. We're not together anymore, obviously. But her dad basically did exactly the same joke with me, and it was fine. Nobody got hurt. I thought it was actually pretty funny. I mean, yeah, it's played out, but it's a classic for a reason. And we wound up going to the gun range a couple times while we were dating and, you know, went out and shot. And so it was just, it was no big deal. It was really no big deal. And, I mean, it just, the family was all there. We all had a good time. And so this idea that because a gun is present, there is some kind of imminent danger to everybody involved is ridiculous. And that really leads into the story that I'm about to talk to you about. You guys know Kyle Kashev, who we've talked about on the program many times. He's the Parkland student that is pro-Second Amendment, that talks about gun rights, has gone on Fox News, Louder with Crowder, Ben Shapiro, a lot of these conservative places, and they'll say, well, he's just going to conservative news outlets. Actually, no, he has gone on with Piers Morgan, who is, granted, a bumbling idiot, but he is on the left, and he's about as anti-gun as you get, and so he's had conversations with those guys. Now, he does refrain from going on to some left-wing sites and news outlets when they want to do an edited interview, because he doesn't want to get taken out of context, and more sympathetic, I could not be. He prefers to do live interviews so that they can't edit out specific content, which I understand that completely. But he actually has been dropped by several left-wing outlets that don't want to talk to him. For example, he had a really hard time getting on CNN. They scheduled him a couple times and dropped him. So Kyle Kashev, this is the guy that we're talking about, Parkland survivor. Turns out the other day, he was grilled by his own school, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High, his own school's security, called him to the office. He's sitting there, he's minding his own business, and he gets a call from his teacher, gets called to the office, has to go up there. They call him out of class for this, and the security guard is there, and the administrators are there, and they sit there and start grilling him. Now, what horrendous, suspicious activity brought on this interrogation? He and his dad went to a gun range for a gun safety course and target practice, and then they posted pictures of it online. That's it. That's all that happened. But apparently, that is enough, and this kind of goes right to what we were talking about earlier, this immediate jump to outrage, that is enough to have the administrators, the school security there, which are actual deputies, they are school resource officers, so they're officers of the law, trained in everything else, to jump to conclusions and assume that this kid is a danger to himself and everybody around him, enough to where they call him to the office and have to question him. So just so you know the content that they are talking about, that what elicited this whole thing, Kashev is posting a lot of pictures of him holding the gun, him shooting the gun at the range. At no point is the gun pointed at anybody. Is he brandishing it in a threatening way? None of that is going on in any of these pictures. And I can't show you the pictures, obviously, because we have this. It's an audio medium here on radio. But I will read you the tweets that accompanied the pictures. It was a great learning experience about our inalienable right of hashtag Second Amendment and how to properly use a gun. This was my first time ever touching a gun, and it made me appreciate the hashtag Constitution even more. My instructor was very informative, and I learnt a lot. A little bit of a typo there. Hashtag 2A is important, and we need to preserve the Second Amendment. Apparently, this is the message that the school thought was threatening and had to be taken care of very quickly. I thought liberals were in favor of safe, responsible gun ownership. Isn't that the mantra? Isn't that the drum that they beat constantly? That they are in favor of people, if they're going to own guns, they should do it safely, they should do it responsibly, which, by the way, if you're looking at their message strictly on the surface, something that I agree with. I don't think that it should necessarily be a legal requirement because it is a human right to be able to own weapons and defend yourself. However, if you're going to own a gun, if you're going to own a firearm, you need to be educated on it. You need to take a gun safety course. I have. My dad was actually a Hunter Ed certification instructor, and he taught me from a very early age all the parts of gun safety before I ever touched a gun. I actually not only had his instruction, but instruction from another safety video that we went. It was hosted at our local co-op there in, I think it was in Verbena, actually. But nonetheless, went through all the safety courses. This is what Kyle is doing. He's never touched a gun before, never fired it, but he figures, look, I'm going to be talking about this stuff. I'm in the public eye. I'm talking about guns and how important our Second Amendment rights are. I should probably be educated on this stuff. What a novel idea. He thinks that because this is a part of the conversation, that this is something that he is going to be talking about, that he has been in the public eye for discussing, that he needs to be educated on it. And because of that, he wants to, you know, feel like he is well informed on these matters. And because of that, he goes and does this instruction with the safety instructor there at the gun range and actually fires a gun. What if the other people involved in this took the same initiative? What if David Hogg and Emma Gonzalez and all the others thought, you know what, if I'm going to be talking about gun safety, I should educate myself. I should know the differences in these firearms, and I should also go and fire one myself. You don't see them doing that. You don't see them educating themselves. You don't see them going and taking a gun safety course and understanding and learning about these things. But Kyle Kashev has. So I thought liberals were all about this safe, responsible gun ownership. This proves, since the outrage of this, they clearly do not. What they really want is confiscation of guns. Safe, responsible gun ownership is something that they abhor, and this proves it. Another tweet that he gives: facts matter. I wish the facts of guns were more known. We need to educate the public and show them why they need the Second Amendment. So this is something that he is talking about here. Look, if I'm going to talk about this stuff, I need to be educated on it. I think this is a healthy attitude to have. And he also states in the last one, where he tweets a picture of himself holding his gun there with his dad, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So just quoting the Second Amendment, apparently these are the things that have registered on their radar and have shown that this is something that needs to be taken care of. This kid is obviously unhinged and a danger to himself just because he went to a gun range and took a gun safety course, which last time I checked, and maybe I'm not completely updated on this, but I'm pretty sure that's still legal. But I guess that's enough to raise the eyebrows and the suspicion and the ire of the staff there at the high school and the school security officers surrounding him. We'll talk about this and some of the fallout and get to some of the specifics and do a comparison between how he was treated and how the shooter was actually treated by the school and the security officers. We do all that when we come back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
There must be religion. When that ligament is torn, society is disjointed and its members perish. The most important of all lessons is the denunciation of ruin to every state that rejects the precepts of religion. Governor Morris, signer of the Constitution.
Welcome back to this happy little experiment we have here. You are in the Situation Room. This is still the 1440 studio, but we're doing something a little bit different. One of my segments got preempted today by a surprise interview, which was a lot of fun, but it meant that I didn't really get to finish what I was talking about earlier. So today I'm going to do this. This is an internet exclusive. So if you're listening to the podcast right here on newsradio1440.com or tacticsradio.com, we appreciate you being here. So what we're talking about before the break came is Kyle Kashev, who is one of the Parkland kids. He's a survivor. And unlike a lot of the people that are commenting right now on the Parkland shooting, he was actually in the freshman building and was actually shot at. And so he was there at Parkland when it happened, been through quite a bit, and yet he is still, and this is part of the narrative that they do not want you to know about, he is still very much pro-Second Amendment. He believes in people's gun rights, and he doesn't think because he went through something tragic, something horrible, that that gives him a right to take away the God-given gun rights guaranteed to us by the Constitution from everybody else. So to get down to exactly what happened, when Kyle was there in class, he gets called up to the principal's office. He is then met in the office by the administrators, and the school security officer, and they start grilling him about these tweets that he made that we read right before the break about the Second Amendment, him going to a gun range on his own time with his dad to take a gun safety course and do some target practice. Now, when this happened to Kyle, smart young man, he asked the security officer if it would be okay for him to record the exchange, to record the conversation, and he was promptly told no, which ought to have made everybody suspicious right from the beginning that this is not a legitimate function of the office, the school resource officer. Typically, I don't have you guys know how I feel about police officers. I back the blue. I am on their side. Generally speaking, I try to give police officers the benefit of the doubt in any of the situations that have come up over the past few years. Now, of course, there are bad police officers, and when I believe that some error has happened or they have abused their power, I am quick to point that out. However, generally speaking, I'm very supportive of our guys in blue. I've had many police officers that listen to the show, call into the show. But when a police officer tells someone that they cannot record, that they are afraid that their actions, because they are being recorded, will be somehow detrimental to them or their career, that is always something that raises my suspicions. Because if you are abiding by the law, you are doing the job that you are called to do, that you are supposed to be doing lawfully, then you shouldn't be afraid of somebody recording it. Generally speaking, I understand that some people, even if they see the recording and even if the officer doesn't do anything wrong, sometimes freak out. But nonetheless, especially in this situation where you're talking to a high school kid, this officer, if he was doing nothing wrong, should not have been afraid of having this particular exchange recorded. Kyle also asked if he was in trouble or had done anything wrong, and he was told no. Well, you haven't done anything wrong. No, you're not actually in trouble, but we still felt that it was important to call you out of class and grill you about your social media post. Then he was asked if anybody actually read the tweets in question, and again, they answered no. So even though this whole thing was started by his social media post, by his Twitter account and him posting pictures of him holding a gun and talking about the Second Amendment, doing so in a very responsible way, doing so in a lawful way, the police officer said, no, we actually haven't read the tweets that started all this. They haven't even read what this was supposed to be about. And this is a quote directly from Kyle. He said, I asked why I was there. One said, don't get snappy with me. Do you remember what happened here a few months ago? What about this social media post makes you think that Kyle is in the same boat with the kid that shot up the school? What makes you think that this is a similar threat to what happened a couple months ago at Parkland? Seriously, what is going on here that you are equating Kyle to the shooter at Parkland High because he went to a gun range with his dad to do target practice? Again, you've admitted in this conversation that he's not done anything wrong. Why are you giving the kid the third degree? I really don't understand this. And they also justified it by saying that the reason that they brought it up is because there were concerned students that brought it to their attention that he had been tweeting stuff like this. So what? You're the adults in the room. You don't have to bark every time the students at your school, the teenagers at your school, say, well, this is something that's concerning to me. That's not your responsibility. If the kid didn't do anything wrong, leave him alone. You're the adult in the room. If the students are coming to you and saying this is of concern, it's your job to say, okay, did he break any rules? No. Did he break any laws? No. Did he threaten anybody? No. Sorry, get over it. I mean, I get that this is an incredibly sensitive situation. I can't imagine what these kids have been through, and I'm not saying that you should necessarily react to it in exactly the same tone and manner that I just did, because as an administrator, especially at this school, I would have been a little more sensitive to it, but I would say, look, I'm sorry that this offends you, but he hasn't done anything wrong, and he hasn't shown that he's a threat in any way. You may not like the kid, you may not like what he's saying, you may not like that he's posting this, but he has a right to do it. You're the adult in the room. You don't have to cave every time a teenager comes to you with a complaint. Just because there were concerned students, that is not an excuse to treat another teenager like a criminal, even though he's done nothing wrong. Him offending the sensibilities of some of his schoolmates, especially when done so on his private time, not on school property, that's not your jurisdiction, that's not your business. So let's compare real quickly. The school's treating and the sheriff department's treatment of Kyle versus the shooter in Parkland that killed 17 people. The piece of scum that came onto a school property and started shooting people at random because he just wanted to kill a bunch of people. Let's compare their treatment of him and Kyle Kashev. Okay, so the shooter was visited by police over 30 times at his home. He also had his own guardians, the people that he was living with, call the cops saying that he was mentally disturbed and had threatened death to other students, to their family, threatened violence. This is something that he should have been locked up for. And the FBI had ignored two tips specifically saying that he wanted to be a school shooter. Completely ignored them. So, and I know the FBI wasn't involved in questioning Kyle Kashev, but still, this is something that should have raised a red flag also with the local authorities. If nothing else, the FBI should have gotten in touch with the local authorities and asked about it. Okay, let's look at the school. The school did not report two felonies committed by the shooter and several misdemeanors because of the Promise program that was implemented by Eric Holder and Barack Obama. They're saying the school should be handling these crimes so that these kids don't wind up with a record. Yeah, well, had this kid wound up with a record, had this kid had those two felonies on his record, he wouldn't have been able to buy a gun because he had a history of violence. He would have been barred from legally purchasing a gun. Now, he probably still would have gotten one anyway, unfortunately. But the point is, he would not have been able to legally obtain his firearms if he had this record. And he may have wound up in jail where he belonged, where he is now. So that being said, let's compare the treatment there with this one. So the school didn't report these felonies. They didn't report several misdemeanors that occurred on campus during school hours. This included fighting other students, threatening to kill other students, and bringing ammo and knives to school. Not to mention the other incidents where he had said he had drinking gasoline and thrown up and all kinds of other crazy things that this kid did that should have been very clear signs that there was something wrong with this kid and that the police needed to handle this. So the other kid actually brings ammo and knives to school, threatens to kill people, threatens to be a school shooter, and gets into fight with kids on school campus, and they do nothing to him. Kyle Kashev, when not during school hours, not on school property, goes with his father to take a gun safety course and shoot at a shooting range, a secure location, doesn't threaten anybody, just talks about how important the Second Amendment is and how people should educate themselves on gun safety, things that I thought most liberals agreed with, apparently not. And he gets the third degree from the school and the sheriff's department. How does that make any sense? Because first of all, it's none of their freaking business. It wasn't on school property. It was something that his father was obviously present for, so he approved of it. It is not their place to intervene. If he had made threats to the school with it, yeah, absolutely. I understand them following up on that. But that's not what happened. In fact, they admitted when they were questioning him that he didn't do anything wrong. And he never threatens anyone. There is no record of illegal activity, violent activity. He's never threatened anybody. There's no rap sheet, as it were, when it comes to Kyle. And yet they give this kid the third degree and leave the other kid alone. Now, I guess to the left, it doesn't matter because now that he has touched a gun, he has been infected with bloodlust. It's kind of like, have you ever seen, if you've seen Lord of the Rings, I guess they think that guns are like the One Ring, that just by merely being around them, by having them touching you, by being in your presence, you were infected with this bloodlust that drives you to kill other people. They are outside their ever-loving mind. I'm actually watching a series here just recently called Sword Guy. It's a Japanese anime, and the whole thing revolves around different swords, different weapons throughout history that these people wind up touching, and the sword has a soul, a demon possessing it, and they are slowly driven mad and driven to violence by their weapons. I guess maybe the left has been watching this and thinks that's how guns work and how weapons work. It's a fantasy. But that seems to be about as logical as anything the left is coming up with in this, in the way that they're treating this kid. Now remember, because it's important to ask why this is happening, remember that Kyle Keshev has been critical of the school and the sheriff's department handling of the shooter and the shooting that took place, and why they didn't take countermeasures, why they did not do something to prevent the shooter, even though there were multiple red flags that there was something seriously wrong with this kid and he did not need to be out in the public sector, did not need to have access to firearms. And yet the school basically said, well, we'll handle it. We're not going to report this kid to the cops. The police officers, despite getting several tips, didn't do anything, didn't confiscate this guy's guns, even though we looked at the interview with a Florida attorney that said that would have been enough to confiscate his firearms. Two different occasions of that, actually. Two different incidents that should have resulted in that. And yet, they didn't. And so by criticizing the sheriff's department's handling of it, the school's handling of it, apparently there are some people that don't like what Keshev is saying, and because of that, they're giving him the third degree. They're wanting him to go away. Based on this story and the way that it is unfolding, I think what happened here is they have been looking for an excuse to get rid of Kyle from the start. And that's why they were just using this as a springboard, as a way to get to try to silence this kid. Because he's saying things that they don't like, saying things that are critical of them. And so they've been hunting an excuse to go after him for a while. And this was just the excuse that they found for it. That's what I think is going on. I can't prove that. I'm not 100% sure, but based on the way this unfolded and the tension that has been between him and the sheriff and the school board here recently, I think that's what's going to happen, because Kyle doesn't fit the neat little narrative that they're trying to portray, which is that anybody that's gone through a horrific tragedy like this, and it is a horrific tragedy, it is a horrible thing to have your schoolmates killed and your teachers killed by a maniac like this. And yet, he's saying, yeah, it's a horrible thing that happened, but it's the shooter's fault. It's not the gun. And I don't want to take away other people's gun rights, law-abiding citizens' gun rights, because this crazy person misused one. And so because he's saying that narrative, and because he doesn't fit that narrative that anybody that's gone through this understands, and they've been changed and transformed by this, and because of that, they know best and they know what we're supposed to be doing on the gun front. Because he flies in the face and defeats that narrative, they want this kid to go away as quickly as possible. They would rather intimidate him into silence than to have to deal with the things that he's saying that do not agree with their worldview. But here's the thing, and this is really the last word on it. This is America. Guns are legal. Going to shooting ranges is illegal. It is legal. Taking gun safety courses is legal. He hasn't done anything wrong. So why don't you spend your time looking into real threats the way you should have done before the Parkland shooting, instead of going after kids like this, and leave the law-abiding citizens using their guns the right way, the lawful way, leave them alone. All right, Chaplin's Report is up next.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt, every weekday from 9 to 11, only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.
We just need a strategy, okay?
Okay, here's the plan.
Chaplin's Report is coming up next on Tactics. Welcome back. You are listening to Hour 2 of Tactics on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440. Those are the ways that you can get in touch with me, but you'll have to wait till tomorrow because I know it's crazy, I know it's weird, but we're going into the chaplain's report right now. And the reason, of course, being that the Braves are going to be preempting me at 10:20. So a quick programming update for you. And so we've got baseball with the biscuits that we just talked about with the owner. And we also have baseball with the Braves that will be coming up in just a moment. So lots of baseball going on. Love baseball season. Really excited for this. And like I said, that segment that I did not get to finish, I will have up later today. I'm going to do a online segment, do kind of a second hour addendum to that. So that'll be a part of the podcast. If you want, I'll go ahead and give you the time stamp. I will post that to the website at Tactics Radio, and it'll probably be on the SoundCloud page as well. So if you want to catch up on that, you're certainly welcome to. But we do have the chaplain's report that I want to go ahead and jump into. And really, part of the theme that's been going on this week, and again, I have been concentrating so much on the story of Baby Alfie that's coming out of the UK, that I think it's important that we get back to the basics on this, that we ask why this story is so important. The answer to that, why is life so important? Why is human life, why is life that is just human and that alone is enough to explain why it is important, why it is sacred, why it must be protected, and why we have a right to life, why that is protected and stated as the primary reason for government to exist in the Declaration of Independence? Why is that our most basic human right? Why is it that all human life is sacred and must be defended? Well, it really goes back to the ideas that are put forward in the scripture. And it goes back not to the teachings of Jesus, not to the teachings of Moses. Of course, both of those great moral teachers include those ideas in their teachings, but really what it goes all the way back to is the beginning, the lessons that we draw from the very creation of mankind. Because if you look very early on in the Pentateuch, in the Torah, God establishes this principle literally from our very creation, before we're created, actually. Where God in the book of Genesis says, "Let us create man in our image." That's where the sanctity of our life comes from, is that an almighty God, a almighty creator, the one who made the entire universe, after he had created everything, animals, trees, plants, the ocean, space, the stars, the sun, all this that he has created, he stops and takes a look back, because everything he created was good. The Bible even says that God looked upon his creation and it was good. But then he steps back and says, now we're going to do something different. Now we are going to create man in our image. So God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost saying, this creation is going to be different from everything else we have created. There is going to be uniqueness here. Everything else was created, good stuff, but this one's going to be made in our image. This creation is going to be similar to us in certain ways. And so Adam and eventually Eve were created. And this is something that continues on. This is really the running theme throughout the entirety of Scripture, is that if you don't know to look for it, you may not realize it, but the idea of being created in God's image, that is the central theme of the entire Bible. Because what did Jesus come back to do? Why did Jesus come to earth? To restore the lost image of mankind. Paul advises them not to hold on to their fleshly ways in the book of Colossians, to the church there at Colossae. And he explains that the reason for this, that the purpose of Christ's mission was to restore the lost image of humanity. In Colossians 3, 9 through 11, he says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is in all, is all, and in all. You see, he says that we're not supposed to sin against one another. Why? Because we are created in God's image. The reason that it is wrong to sin against another human being, and of course the scripture lays out those sins in detail, which we don't have time to go into, but he talks about all these different sins. The reason it is wrong to sin against one another is because that person is also created in God's image. And you are defying God by doing evil to them. It is though you are actually committing evil against God himself. You see, sin is what mars and distorts that image. It takes us further away from the image of God. It makes us less like God, and we're supposed to be like God. We're supposed to be created in his image. And so what a sin does is it separates us from God by distorting that image that we're supposed to hold of God. And see, Jesus, because he is God's perfect image, he is the perfect reflection of God, then when we put on Jesus in baptism, according to Romans 6, we take on the godlike qualities that Jesus has, and that's why we're supposed to live differently. He restores our image to its original untainted state. Thus, when we look on others and look at how we're supposed to be treating the other members of humanity, we're supposed to look at Jesus and treat them like we would treat Jesus if he were standing in our midst. That's really the whole purpose of Matthew chapter 25, is that he says those who will be admitted into the kingdom of heaven will be the ones that treated other people the way that they should have treated me. You see, he teaches this in Matthew 25, and as God's image bearers, we will be judged in part by the way we treat the other people who are made in God's image, our brothers and sisters. Stay the course, friends.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt. Every weekday from 9 to 11. Only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.